Mark chapter 4. Parables of the kingdom. There are three parables here. We're going to read all three. We're going to look at each one of them in turn and then try to make some application of all of this. Beginning in verse 21. And he said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds of the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. There in verse 21, Mark tells us that he said to them, he writes, he, Jesus, said to them, he began to speak to them. Who is them? Who are these people? Well, it seems to me, obviously, it is those persons that we read about in verse 10 of the same chapter. And if you look up a few verses, we read that when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. These were his disciples. These were his family members. These were those who were following after him. These were his friends, those who desired him, those who sought him, who lived for him. Verse 23, Jesus repeats something that we've heard before. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And then in verse 34, I'm just picking out some very key texts I think that are important for us to understand as we begin this morning. But in verse 34, Mark tells us that with many such parables, privately, in person, to his disciples, Jesus explained everything. He not only shared the told the parables, but explained their meanings to those who were there. The old commentator W. Watkinson observed, preachers are often blamed because their discourse, because their preaching fails to impress. But the great preacher himself failed to impress secular minds. And what he was getting at is that when the word is read, when the word of God is preached and applied, there are those who will hear, and there are those who simply refuse to hear. Be sure this morning, and always when God's word is before you, that you find yourself in that former group rather than the latter. Jesus says, pay attention, let those who will hear, hear. He's about to tell us some important things. There are the three parables. The first one is found in verses 21 to 25, the parable of a light on its lampstand. Remember the good soil? Remember the sower, the parable of the sower and the soils last week. And remember the first three soils and then the good soil that produced 30 and 60 and 100 fold. Here, as we think about this lamp under a basket, this light on its lampstand, there's a bit of a turn here for us. That seed that Jesus spoke of in the previous parable now becomes fruit and light that causes us to shine. But it's the Word of God. The Pharisees, and we've seen this over and over again with them, and their followers and those who opposed Jesus, they were always hiding any light of the gospel, any light of the Word of God under human traditions. They were burying them. You know, we can do that, can't we? We can miss the good news of the gospel. We can miss the freedoms that we have because of the gospel. We can miss the joys of salvation because we hide all of that under human tradition. You know, we must worship in a certain way, picking out just this type of music and not that type of music. Because we insist on living this sort of lifestyle or that sort of lifestyle, and we hide our witness, we hide the word behind a lifestyle that is inconsistent with the gospel. We could go on and on. There's so many ways that we can hide the light under a lampstand, the gospel under a lampstand. We can simply refuse to share the gospel. It can be something as simple as that, just an outright refusal to tell the gospel to others. Well, the questions that Jesus has to ask here are very simple. Is a lamp to be hidden? What's the answer? No. You don't light a lamp and then hide it. Is it to be placed on a lampstand? Well, yes, so that it will give light. There's the parable. And Jesus says, pay attention. Be on guard. Listen. Be sure that you get the meaning of this. Charles Spurgeon once said, in these days we have many instructions as to preaching, you know, how to write a sermon, how to put it together, how to preach it, you know, just the right illustrations, you know, all of that, just the right voice, intonation, and everything. In these days we have many instructions as to preaching, but our Lord principally gave instructions to hearing. Pay attention. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. When a person is constantly listening to gossip, that person will be just naturally inclined to condemn and to judge harshly. If a person is constantly holding back from God, that person will find him or herself more and more desiring not the things of God, but the things of the world. But if we hear the word, if we listen, if we pay attention to what Jesus tells us, if we hear the word, then we find that our lives are transformed by that very light that Jesus speaks about. Pay attention. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And then Jesus makes this application. This is what we really need to pay attention to here. He says, you will be measured by the way that you measure. If a person is kind, that person will fall into the habit, will fall into the lifestyle, the pattern of judging others graciously. If a person is concerned about others, that person will habitually and regularly reach out to others to comfort them, to touch them in love. You'll be measured by that with which you measure others. Think about this for a moment. God has been so gracious to us. Last week, we counted some of our blessings, and we referenced the great old hymn, Count Your Many Blessings. Remember that? Name them one by one. Count your many blessings and see what God has done. And I noted that if we were to count them, we would be here all day, and those blessings would begin to pile up before us as a great mountain. How good God has been to us. How gracious, how faithful He has been to us. He is always seemingly adding gift to gift. He is always seeming, those of us who are His children, it seems that He is always giving to us out of His abundance, giving us more and more. That's what Jesus seems to be getting at here. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Pay attention. Listen. If you have ears to hear, hear this. You will be judged by the manner, in the manner in which you judge others. You will be treated in the way that you treat others. As individuals, as a church, as people, we cannot grumble, fuss, gossip, be divided, thus hiding our lights, hiding the light of the gospel under all of that and expect a flood of divine blessings. On the other hand, to shine before God, to shine before the world, is to bask in His glory, is to receive blessing upon blessing, to receive more and more, and to shine more and more. Think about it for a moment. This is the way God deals with us as His children, isn't it? You remember Solomon? Well, Solomon, ask me anything that you wish. And Solomon asked for wisdom. Well, God gave him wisdom, but He gave him much more. Added, He gave him riches beyond measure. He gave him length of days, length of life. Do you remember how Jesus answered the centurion's request to heal his servant? He blessed the servant. He healed the servant. And then He added a blessing for the centurion himself. Jesus is always glad to give more and more. The plea of Jairus to heal his daughter. Jesus healed her, but did not stop there, but said, give her something to eat also. Jesus is always going that next step, to that next blessing. Think about it. Jesus, in Jesus Christ, our Father has pardoned our sins. But He has not only pardoned our sins, He has not only forgiven us our sins, but He has adopted us. He has given us peace. He has given us holiness and joy. He has given us assurance not only of this present abundant life, but of eternal life. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. There's a second parable here. It's the parable of the scattered seed, verses 26 through 29. There are two matters that are stressed here, human responsibility and divine sovereignty. A farmer sows the seed. And in sowing the seed, he can sow the seed, he can water it, he can fertilize it. But in the end, the farmer, really all that he has is hope, isn't it? He sows and he does all that he can do, but he says, I cannot make the seed grow. I cannot make it germinate and produce. I ran across a word as I was looking at this, and someone had written that this growth of the seed into a plant and then into a plant that bears fruit, that this growth is endogenous. Endogenous. John, can you give us a definition of endogenous? I couldn't have either if I hadn't looked it up. That's one of those words you come across, ooh, I need to figure out what that means. And so I looked it up. And it has to do with pathology of a disease resulting from conditions within, I'm reading the definition, resulting, I didn't come up with this on my own, I guarantee you, resulting from conditions within the organism rather than externally caused. The seed has within itself all that is necessary for germination and growth and fruition. So it is with us. Christ has granted to us all that we need. And so faithfully we sow the seed year by year. We pray. We encourage. We visit. We worship. We give, we exhort, we hold one another accountable, we comfort, we teach. Day after day, month after month, year after year, as disciples of Christ, we put one foot faithfully in front of the other. Little by little then, we see the seed, the word, has its effect. Little by little, it grows. The gospel itself is the power of God unto salvation. All who believe, beginning with the Jew and then the Gentile. the word itself, the gospel itself, is powerful. The writer of Hebrews tells us that it is able to cut asunder the human heart and show all that is there. The gospel is powerful. It has within itself the power to change lives, to change minds, to change hearts. But we must sow the gospel like the farmer. We do all that we can. We sow, we pray, we plead with others to hear, but in the end, we cannot make anyone believe. That is of God. And then one day, suddenly, that gospel witness, it germinates and it bears fruit and the harvest comes. This is what Jesus, I believe, wants us to see with this mustard seed. It's such a small seed, but planted. It has within itself the potential to grow and become the largest plant in the garden. And so I'm reminded of a couple texts, one from Paul, one from James. In 2 Corinthians 15, verse 58, Paul encourages the Corinthians and encourages us, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing..." Not merely hoping, not merely, just hoping, but knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The gospel seed that we sow, it will germinate, and it will grow, and it will bear fruit. And so James, similarly, in James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." Wow. And so, here at the end of the year, we look back on days in which we have faithfully put one foot in front of the other. We look at days ahead, knowing that we must continue to put one foot faithfully in front of the other and just move ahead, sowing the seed, scattering the seed, but with this confidence that that seed will germinate and it will grow and the kingdom will grow. Verses 30 through 32 is actually the mustard seed. I can't help but thinking about once driving out west and looking out in the distance, and there in the distance, just a very small, almost unnoticed dot on the horizon. And as we would drive along, that dot became a little bit of a bump on the horizon until it began to look like a hill, until it then loomed before us like a mountain as we traveled toward it. That little dot on the horizon becoming larger and larger and larger. Now, of course, it depends on who's driving, as to how fast that little dot on the horizon begins to loom before you as a mountain. But that's sort of the way it is with the mustard seed, isn't it? So small, so seemingly so insignificant, but it grows and grows and grows. One 19th century Anglican writer noted that all great movements have had small beginnings. Think of the founding of our own nation. Think of the treatment of diseases, how little by little medical knowledge has built up until today we take for granted the healing of diseases that our parents and grandparents died from. The treating of diseases, travel to the moon and beyond. Think about the Lord's founding of the church. How small was that first band of believers in whom God's kingdom was present. Began with 12. It multiplied to the 70. On the day of Pentecost, it multiplied to over 3,000. But even this number was pretty much insignificant relative to the entire Roman Empire. But the gospel continued to spread through that empire. And today, the gospel is known all over the world. And one day, as we have seen, one day, this Jesus will rule in the hearts of those, as John saw there in Revelation 5 and 7, who were from every tribe and language and people and nation. Scattered seed will bear fruit, will bear fruit. Gospel is like that mustard seed. It will grow, and it will grow and grow. What do we make of all of this? What do we make of these three parables on the kingdom? Well, concerning that lamp that is not to be hid under a basket, but rather is to be put on a lampstand, perhaps we should simply say to ourselves, shine. Be sure that we shine. And in doing so, receive blessing upon blessing from our God. Those who have, much more will be given them. But those who have not, even that little bit that they have, will be taken away. Jesus would have us to shine, to give the gospel. Considering that parable of the scattered seed, what shall we say? Well, we should persevere in faithfulness. We should persevere in sowing the seed. We have taken some small steps just in this year, but how many more steps must we take in the coming year to sow the seed? To share the gospel. The mustard seed. I think from this, I would simply say, do not be discouraged by small things. In God's work and with God's power, small things become great things. I wonder, you know, we're in that time of the year that we as Southern Baptists, we collect what we call the Lottie Moon Christmas offering for international missions. We've sort of expanded that to a global missions offering. But we collect this, and you know, this year we have increased our congregational goal from $10,000 to $20,000. And some will think, wow, perhaps that's too great a goal. We just collected, what, I think about $12,000 last year. We beat our goal, but just by a little bit. You know, it was not but 3 or 4 or 5 years ago that we as a congregation were giving well over $20,000 each December. It just seems reasonable to me. It certainly seems to me that a congregation that believes the promises of God ought to dream, ought to set goals that perhaps are difficult to reach, but are definitely reachable by God's power as He works in us. And I've thought about this whole thing of missions. We'll be focusing on missions a lot in the month of December. And I've just wondered, perhaps we do not pray as we should for missions and for the work of the gospel around the world. Perhaps we do not pray continually for that work. Perhaps we do not give sacrificially, and I mean financially, for the sake of the gospel, that the gospel might be preached to the ends of the earth. Perhaps some of us do not go because we really do not believe the promises of these parables. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. We are not to put our light under a basket, but to put it on a lampstand and let it shine. We are to scatter the seed, knowing that the seed is powerful and life-giving. We are to plant, and we are to begin even with those small steps, knowing that God's kingdom will indeed grow. Perhaps we do not think bigger than we think. Perhaps we do not give more than we give. Perhaps we do not pray more than we do because we simply do not believe the promises of these parables. Church, let us hear the parables. Let us hear what Jesus is saying to us. Let us believe and let us step out. Our Father, we thank you for what the gospel writers have called, what Jesus himself has referred to as the kingdom of God. Your rule in the hearts and the lives of men and women. We thank you, Father, that the gospel has come to us. And we're gathered here this morning as your people. Very much like those who were gathered around Jesus. He spoke to them. That is, those who were his disciples, those who loved him, those who sought to follow after him. Father, we are those people this morning. We do love you. We desire to hear from you, to be taught by you, to be transformed by you, to be empowered by you. And there are lessons here in these parables for us this morning. We are not to hide the light of the gospel, but rather to set it on the lampstand and to let it shine brightly. We are to do the work of scattering the seed, even if it is little by little. But we are to scatter that seed with the confidence that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Even if we begin with small things, we are to believe and trust that you are growing your kingdom and that you have allowed us the privilege of being a part of that growing process. Oh, Father, grant to us as individuals and especially as a congregation a vision that is your vision, a passion about the gospel, about missions, that is equivalent to your passion, that we would pray, that we would give, that we would go. Father, may we be found faithful. May we be those who indeed have ears to hear. May we be those who hear and act obediently and faithfully. We ask in Jesus' name.